G'day, Jimmy. How you going?
Oh, not too bad, guys. Considering how you guys are
going all right. Do you remember that one as far as blow-up's concerned between Jason Dunstall and who else was it again?
Steve Quartermain.
Steve Quartermain. It was kind of funny. They've played it quite a bit. It's funny now, but when it happened at the time, it was almost like the feeling, are we actually listening to this? Is the radio still on? It was in the radio box at Triple M, but it was sort of one of those ones you're doing, this is a joke, surely. And then you found out, no, those two weren't too happy with each other.
Yeah, that's outstanding. You put what
could
Paul
be you,
Bryce
could
on
be
him.
You and Loz.
Yeah,
you know,
I couldn't imagine Loz doing that.
Not at the moment. You're six rooms away from each other.
I can't see you, boys.
Makes it tough.
I'm isolated in here.
Jimmy, as far as the pay debate in the AFL is going, the players are copping it at the moment. And Chris Scott, your old coach there at Geelong, says it's unfair that the players are copping it. Basically, the AFL has asked for what a 79%. Cut across the board. The players have initially put up 50%, but where's this at the moment and where's it expect to land?
Look, I think it will get to a good place. It turned into a bit of a PR, nightmare, a disaster for the players. And I think, you guys know better than most, context is everything. So comments from, Pat Dangerfield, who's not only a superstar, he's the Players Association president, was asked about how it's been going about. And the problem was, he said, look, I want the AFL to open up the books. Now, when people are losing their jobs, things like that, they take that and go, well, come on, mate, don't be greedy. We're all losing our jobs. But what the players were wanting to do is get a full understanding of, where everything's at. Clubs are in trouble, the AFL's in trouble, and they wanted to know, what were they giving up? And I think it just got taken out of context. What we do, different people have opinions on someone else's opinion, and it just spirals out of control that way. So originally the players thought, well, if it's all okay, we're going to be back at May 31, we'll take a pay cut till then. And people saw that, well, you're only taking 50% of a two-month pay cut, you've been paid a lot. I think it's going to land where across the industry, and we're talking the AFL executives as well, will probably be that 70 to 80% across the industry.
Yeah, Jimmy, what are the players meant to do there, buddy? Like, at the end of the day, in regards to perception, you can't win. Because exactly like you're saying, people are losing their jobs. So in regards to a pay cut, they're taking 100% pay cut. How on earth can the players win by coming out? And whatever number they take, if a player's making $1 million and it cuts by 50%, it's still, can you imagine $500,000 to a family or to 10 families in society at the moment? It just goes so far. So the actual players don't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, exactly right, Clark. The problem is, I think it was just the wording and the language. And this is probably one time where you've got to really pick your words wisely, and then how you communicate what you're trying to do. Look, their intention was right. I know a few of their players going, well, look at all the stuff we did for the bushfires and things like that. But the fact of the matter, if they looked around their own footy club, I know the Giants have gone from 96 staff to 30 in the space of a couple of days.
Gosh, so crazy.
You just got to be super sensitive, and then you just talk about the broader issue and things like that. As soon as you make the players, I think, made it players versus the AFL. The AFL have tried to make it, come on, we need some urgency from you guys. Mm. So I think it'll land in a good spot. I just think both sides, I think the way they chose their words hasn't made the situation go down well.
Jimmy, we're always led to believe that the AFL is in a lot stronger position than the NRL up here on the East Coast. But and there's talk up here that some clubs mightn't survive. Some teams in the NRL mightn't survive.
Yep.
Is there a chance that that could happen in the AFL, in particular, say, with a Gold Coast?
Look, I don't think it's the Gold Coast and the Giants expansion clubs. I think Tony Cochran, who's the Gold Coast Suns president, we know he's a bit wild and he's a big personality, but he makes some valid points. You don't cut out the businesses that give you the most growth. And the Suns are doing that, and the Giants are new markets, their expansion. The one advantage probably the AFL has, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, is they own Marvel Stadium and that whole block of land down there in the city, Docklands, they've got a stadium. The amount of things you can do with that. It's sort of good collateral or leverage when they go to probably have to get a line of credit from a bank or the government to move forward. So, look, you could possibly lose clubs because of the money. The AFL is in a good spot, but no one's in that good of a spot. We're talking $700 million plus dollars here. that, you know, they've got to find. Yeah, you could lose clubs, but they've all the clubs have come out and said, you know, we're better off with 18 clubs, and they've got some good assets to lean back on.
Jimmy, I'd imagine you're still very close to a lot of the current players. How are they travelling, mate, with obviously so much up in the air and the unknown, just in and around mental health? Are they all doing okay?
I think that's the key word, Clarkie. It's unknown. I think if you you go not only to the footballers but anybody else, I think it's the unknown. Like, when's it going to stop? When's it going to end? You know, the players have been told May 31, we'll come back and review it, but are we all confident that May 31 will be the end of it? So that's the really concerning thing. The good thing is I think the education in mental health has just come on in leaps and bounds in AFL and in sport, so they're all looking after each other. And the good thing a lot of AFL clubs did really quickly is they got all their players back home from whatever their home state is, and, you know, got them around, you know, family and friends or back to their home state, so they weren't, you know, just cooped up by themselves.
Jimmy, is there still fair to say that particularly in the old school Victorian clubs, there's animosity towards the expansion to Greater Western Sydney and the Gold Coast? Because I have seen there has been debate around this week. Well, let's just get rid of the expansion clubs. And last year alone, I mean, the AFL tipped in $27.5 million into the Gold Coast Suns. They're not going to let them die.
No, there's always going to be, Jared. Look, people always, you know, get their nose up, but they don't understand that those two clubs put $40 million into the game with that extra game. So you're $27 million for $40 million. I'd take that business any time.
Yeah.
Also, on top of it, people also only highlight how much, I'm using the Suns, I'm not defending them, but highlight how much the Suns are getting. But the AFL is a not-for-profit. Whatever money they get, they have to give away. So they're giving $27 to the Suns, but they're still also giving $20 million to the Saints. They're giving you 18 and 19 million to other Melbourne clubs. It's just, you've got people, you know, are very selective. When they're having a crack at the Suns and the Giants, they actually don't highlight the bigger picture.
No, fair point. And how long do you think they would need? In the NRL, we're saying, Loz reckons about 3 weeks to come back and prepare for a game to get back into the competition whenever it does restart, if it does in season 2020. What about in the AFL, considering, you know, I suppose it's such a different sort of conditioning? How long would they need? Say they said, you know, the competition's going to start this date. How long would they want before that to be ready for the next round of footy?
Yeah, this is, again, just my opinion. I'd have to agree with you. I think they'd need 3 weeks. So I was thinking about this last night, but even if they said May 31... You'd have to get all your players back from wherever they are. And if there's still another 2 week lockdown, you know, when people come back from interstate, so there's a couple of weeks, a bit of training and things like that. I think the advantage of both league and AFL, they'll still have some base training from their pre-season. So, yeah, I'd agree with you. About 3 weeks, I reckon, to get up and going. And the shortened quarters help us this year. So, that might help them get back, you know, probably in 3 weeks.
Jimmy, lastly, our theme of the morning is, you know, best sporting blow-ups or exchanges with the media you've seen. Have you got any that come to mind?
Look, Ross Lyon, the reason I miss Ross Lyon from coaching is his press conference. He's an absolutely belittle journalist. One of the funniest ones is a journalist down here, Shane McInnes, lovely fella, asked a question which Ross wasn't too happy with and just decided to spend the remaining press conference just belittling him, going, "Oh, you're quite brilliant, Shane. You're very clever." Yeah, and just spend the whole time. And if you want a bit of an American sporting one, look up Allen Iverson's press conference where a reporter asked him about something happening in practice. It's very funny.
You know what I love, Jimmy? I love when you go on YouTube and you put in footy coach sprays and you get the club coaches from like country towns in Victoria or up here in New South Wales. They're some of the best coaching sprays I've heard. Jeez, they're funny.
They're great.
Oh, they are. No, I can't repeat them on air, by the way. But if you're out there having a, and you've got Dr. Google with you, just Google YouTube, go on Footy Coach Sprays, and there's some fantastic ones there.
Good on you, Jimmy. Been great to talk to you.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.